Tell us, what is all this buzz about the FCC providing some content providers, as we've heard, a fast lane to getting internet, I guess, to their customers, and just kind of explain how this all started.
The key thing to understand is back in 2002, the FCC issued an order that classified cable modem access to the internet as not a Title II telecommunications service, but instead as a Title I information service. So why does that matter? Because depending upon, under federal law, whether you're Title I or Title II, whole different sets of regulation or rules apply to you. The FCC has been challenged ever since what to do about broadband service providers that are providing access to the internet. What obligations should they have as just a Title I information service, since they're not a Title II common carriage service? And so we've had a couple of decisions by the FCC and a couple of cases where they, one was an order specifically dealing with Comcast, and more recently, network neutrality rules that were issued. And both times, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals has struck down to some extent what the FCC had attempted to do, because they said, well, you said it wasn't a Title II service, and you don't have as much jurisdiction for a Title I service, so you've gone too far. That's what happened again in January of 2014. So this latest thing that people are reacting to is a leak, as I understand it, about what the FCC is contemplating. And the leak is that a draft order to open up a notice of proposed rulemaking is being distributed among the commissioners that would consider allowing broadband providers to charge content providers money in order to provide a faster access from the content provider to the customer. And this is what's referred to as the fast lane.
Who's going to be most affected by this?
This is, well, there's different effects for different parties. Certainly, it's viewed as many as a vehicle through which the broadband providers can earn extra profits and, in fact, artificially increase their profits, because they're now given the perverse incentive to slow down traffic and create congestion so they can convince content providers to pay them to speed it up. So it could be an artificial, in other words, they can artificially create the reasons for why they should be paid. It affects the content provider area in that even Google would be considered a form of provider, because if people want to use their search engine, Google could get faster response to and from users if Google would pay Comcast or the other broadband providers' fees. So what happens when somebody wants to come along and be a new search engine or a new provider of content or communication in some way? It will be more difficult to break in. So some argue that this would skew the market or would skew innovation in the content market. And then finally, to the extent to which it does actually skew what kind of content is available, then there is a form of distortion or bias in terms of what customers can experience and what they have access to and with what kind of ease or not.
Do state governments have any role in this at all?
Jurisdiction over traditionally the telephone service was jointly held by the FCC, who regulates in interstate commerce, and the state commissions, who regulate in intrastate commerce. In the last few years, a number of states, including Indiana, have passed laws at the state legislatures that's increasingly cutting back the jurisdiction or the ability of the state commissions themselves to oversee or to have either any regulatory power, jurisdiction over broadband, or very limited. So there's also, it varies from state to state, the degree to which any kind of additional protections could be available. But Indiana is one that's gone pretty far in what we call deregulation.
What was the reasoning for that here in Indiana, that we decided to go toward more deregulation?
My understanding is that, and it's happened across a number of states, a lot of these large companies, including such as AT&T and Verizon, that's part of their business plan, is to get relieved of as much regulation as possible. They would prefer to have as much flexibility to determine who they will serve, where they will serve, what they will serve with, and at what price, and if they're going to serve at all. And that's just a kind of a natural financial incentive. But the reason why I feel pretty confident about my interpretation is because that's what I did for 10 years was work in government affairs of AT&T and in the states, 10 states here in the Midwest. And so they've just been very successful. And they've been going across. They've gotten legislation passed in something like 20 or 22 states so far, chipping away at their state obligations. And this is just part of a master business plan to give them more flexibility with their business model.
What's the FCC's end goal here?
Because of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals case in January, the FCC, as led by its chairman, Tom Wheeler, is attempting to go back and try again with some network neutrality rules. To do so, the commission really has two choices. They either try and continue under their Title I information service classification, which it appears this leak is indicating that commission is contemplating doing. And they're attempting to exercise the amount of jurisdiction that the D.C. Circuit said they had as a result of this new opinion. That's one approach. The other approach would be is that the FCC would simply go back, reevaluate, and reclassify broadband service as a Title II communication service, telecommunication service. If it did that, then it would have all the jurisdictional power it needed. The problem is the more solid legal basis under Title II is politically more difficult to achieve. And so what is likely happening here is that the chairman is seeking, at least as a first step, something that's probably politically more acceptable and less likely to anger particularly the Republicans.
What do you mean politically more acceptable? Why would they have any kind of opposition to reclassifying?
Well, historically, as you can probably imagine, on a lot of issues, whether it's healthcare or other things, historically, there's tended to be a party alignment on net neutrality. The key order of the FCC in 2002 that changed the classification to a Title I information service was done during a Republican administration. And while the chair of the commission was Michael Powell, and the majority of the commissioners were Republican appointees. Now, since Obama's been president, we have a majority of the commissioners that are Republican, I mean Democrat, and the chairmans are Democrat. To reclassify as a common carrier service would anger the Republicans a lot, because their view of deregulation, their way of moving the industry, was to change this, classify the service. It's their view of deregulation. To reclassify to them is going backwards. And so they would mightily fight it. And because of all the other polarization we see in Washington right now, it's so difficult to get anything through Congress. What the fear is that Congress might have backlash, at least as influenced by the Republicans who still control the House and still can filibuster in the Senate. The commission might have to worry, for example, about appropriations. It still has to have, the commission still has to have its budget approved and appropriations made by Congress to them. And so that's a potential backlash against the agency. That always is a potential backlash, is that Congress will find some way of punishing you for taking a decision they don't agree with.
Do those politics trickle down to the state level, either in maybe our U.S. congressmen or even our state legislatures?
Well, certainly then in every state legislature, to the degree to which, like I mentioned before, when about 20-some states have passed laws cutting back jurisdiction of their state commissions, though those tend to be in states where it's been Republicans that are the dominant political party in power. So this has become, net neutrality has become another lightning rod issue where it's always dangerous to generalize, but it's fairly, I think it's fairly accurate to say that as a general matter, Republicans tend to be opposed to net neutrality, opposing reclassification of broadband as common carriage, whereas the Democrats tend to be more in favor of net neutrality and reclassifying. So it's just another example where the two parties are at odds.
Well, thank you very much for being here.
Sure. Thank you.